Welcome to today's conference call. Please note, today's event is being recorded. Please stand by.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our cancer endorsement maintenance call, first one of phase two. Today's focus is going to be on the colon measures. And before we get started, I just wanted to do a quick poll of our steering committee members. So, Barrera? Pinzik?
Here.
Dr. Ricciardi? Dr. Lutz? Dr. Loy? Dr. Gore?
Here.
Dr. Dale? Jared Loeb? Dr. Alvarnov?
Here.
Okay. All righty. Well, again, welcome. And I wanted to let everyone know that we do have measure developers on the call, and we'll be going through measures from the AMA PCPI, ASCO, and ACS. So as we start, we'll go ahead and start with number 0392, colorectal cancer resection pathology reporting.
And Felicia, if you could ask anyone on the line with AMA PCPI to signal if you can open their lines, please.
And please press star 1 if you do need your line opened. And we'll go to Samantha Tierney.
Yeah, hi, there are several of us in the room for the AMA PCPI.
Okay.
Yeah, all of their lines need to be open for this.
Okay, just a moment. Emily Volk's line is opened.
Thank you.
And V.O. Spites?
Yes, with an A sound.
Spates?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Any others?
Sam,
and those are the only ones that signaled.
Sam, is that everyone from AMA PCPI?
And Faye has now signaled as well. Szymanski?
Okay. Thank you. So, as I was saying, we're going to start with 392. The process will be for the lead discussant to go through the measure and give their impressions of each of the criteria for the measure, and then we'll open it up for discussion by the work group. So for this measure, which is an AMA PCPI measure, our discussant is Dr. Gore on the line.
So this measure is to include basically full pathology reporting, including T stage of the primary tumor and end stage of the regional lymph nodes with histologic grade for patients undergoing colorectal cancer resection. It's a measure that's reported as a percentage, so percentage that include essentially complete pathologic information. In terms of the importance to measure, colon cancer is one of the most commonly detected cancers. It's the third most commonly detected cancer and a leading cause of cancer-specific death. So accurate pathology reporting is very important, as we'll see in review of the later measures, and determination of adjuvant treatments in terms of staging and discriminating between stage 2 and stage 3 cancer, and possibly in determining eligibility for clinical trials. In terms of performance gap, I thought this might be one of those where compliance is, you know, above 95%, but there was a surprising performance gap documented on review of 2008 to 2010 claims with what they report as 25.8% of patients not having complete pathology specimen reporting. There's no information on disparities. In terms of structure process outcome link, this is a process outcome. It's not a health outcome, but I think we can clearly make an alignment between the process of accurate pathology reporting and an eventual outcome likely. there aren't really a lot of studies to cull from other than guidelines. So it is low-level evidence, but it's very consistent. I don't think there's anyone out there arguing for incomplete pathology reporting. In terms of reliability and validity, it does seem to be a measure that would be reliably ascertained either through hand chart abstraction or ideally with an EMR. The measure developers include the relevant ICD-9 and CPT codes that allow you to designate candidate numerator patients. They also include some relevant denominator exclusions, such as recurrent cases. In terms of, reliability testing, they showed excellent ability to reliably ascertain the information from charts in the testing project. In terms of validity, this is similar to some of the other PCPI measures that we've reviewed, where they queried an expert panel about their impression of the measure as a rating of, as a rating of how important the measure is to report, and it wasn't as strong as you would expect. There was some disagreement, and there were some people who were fairly neutral on it, but 8 out of 12 of the panel felt that it was something important to measure. There's no risk adjustment for the measure. In terms of, usability, I think the measure demonstrates high usability as it's a way to look at the quality of the pathology reporting that is delivered by a local institution. It can be used for benchmarking and definitely for local quality improvement. In terms of feasibility, these are all elements that are usually fundamental components of a synoptic pathology report, and so I think it can be easily ascertained, especially with an electronic health record. And so I thought that this measure met criteria in importance, reliability, validity, and usability for endorsement.
Thank you. So we'd like to throw open discussion to the rest of the work group, and please keep in mind we have the developers on. If you have questions, you can direct them to the developers also. Were there other comments about this measure?
Oh, this is a V.O. Spates. I'm a pathologist, and I am very surprised about the gap there. So
yeah.
I think this is a very good measure, very practical, and very easy to monitor, and was very appropriately explained.
I thank you.
This is Emily Volk, also pathologist with subspecialty training in GI, and I concur.
Thank you. And just to clarify, that was Dr. Spates. That was, and Emily, was you were developer side?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thanks.
I know you're probably looking for input from the other side, but
no problem. No problem at all. Any comments from the steering committee?
This is Joe Alvarez. I thought the measure was extremely well presented, and I think there's both a performance gap as well as an importance in achieving this. So given that and its measurability, I also would support the measure.
And this is Wendy Tanzik, also from the steering committee. I would agree with an excellent presentation, and I also support the measure.
Seems like there's consensus.
Sounds good. If there are any more comments about any of the criteria.
And this is the operator. I also opened the line of David Witt, and if anyone else needs their line open, simply press star 1.
Dr. Witte, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I think I concur with the consensus as it's developed.
Thank you. All right. Then I think we've completed our discussion for this measure. Then let's move on to our next measure. And that's 0223. And I believe the developer for this is ACS. And our lead discussant is Dr. Barrera and Wendy Tenzik. And do we have either of those steering committee members on the line?
Yes, thank you very much. It's Eduardo, and this is a measure proposed by the American College of Surgeons, and it implies the termination of adjuvant chemotherapy within 4 months of surgery to patients under the age of 80 with stage 3 colon cancer. They propose the measure is very well outlined. They describe the importance of chemotherapy being given to stage 3 and the importance of giving it in a timely manner within 4 months. They have very good denominator statements, ages from 18 to 79, and the type of malignancy. The denominator exclusions are well outlined too. The gap has been described also well with regards to the fact that there's high potential impact since there could be a potential 25% difference in survival, and also they find that there is some evidence and wide variation in the use of chemotherapy in stage 3 colon cancer. So, in general, the structure is good, and basically, when I personally looked at it from what has been provided to us in terms of importance and the evidence backing it up, it seems to be quite consistent with regards to the scientific rationale was very high, and basically it sounds as very usable from the perspective of billing data or electronic medical records. It's quite reasonably simple to calculate the time and the administration of noted chemo, so it looked to be quite feasible. And so, in my impression, it did seem to meet the criteria for adoption at this time. I am not an expert in this subject, so I looked at it based on the material that was presented and my interpretation of it. So I would welcome a comment from the committee about what other ones feel about it.
And just I wanted to say, Wendy was also the lead discussant on this. Would you like to weigh in at all first?
Sure. I was actually going to say, Dr. Barrera says he's not an expert. I'm certainly way less of one. I'm not a clinician at all. But I would definitely agree with his comments in terms of what appeared to be the thoroughness of this. I appreciated the fact that there were randomized trials that were used, which we haven't seen in many of the measures that we've looked at, and also that the level of that the evidence was rated as level one evidence. So I thought it was very strong, and agree also with the recommendation to approve it.
Thank you. Any other discussion from the larger steering committee members?
This is Joe Alvarez. I would echo what I view as the importance of this and the measurability, and as I guess understand it, this is one of those measures that has been chosen by CMS to be both tracked and publicly reported. I guess I'm surprised that the extent of a performance gap that exists, and it's troubling, and given the I think the very strong argument in level one evidence that this can have an impact upon patient outcome, I would also reiterate the importance of maintaining this measure.
Thank you. Any other comments, or do we have comments for the developer, questions for the developer? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go on to the next measure. We have number 0225. At least 12 regional lymph nodes are removed and pathologically examined for resected colon cancer. This, again, is the American College of Surgeons measure. And our lead discussant assigned was Dr. Rick Yardy. And is he on the line, Dr. Rick Yardy?
I am on the line.
Very good. Thank you. And we said earlier at the beginning of the call that the process is to walk through and let us know your impressions related to the four criteria, and then we'll throw it open to the wider group.
Sure. So I apologize for being late. This is a process measure that's up for endorsement maintenance review, and measure is that at least 12 regional lymph nodes are removed and pathologically examined for resected colon cancer. The data come from electronic clinical data registry, paper records, and the analysis that this is looking for. With respect to impact, I think the data here demonstrate conclusively that it affects large numbers of patients and that it is a high impact focus. I gave it a rating of high.
Okay.
With respect to performance gap, also a number of studies that were referenced that demonstrate a significant performance gap even to date across the country at participating centers. So I, again, rated that high as well. The next area is evidence for health exemption for health outcome. This is the health outcome here would be, although this is a process measure, it is tied to health outcome of survival, the process measure being tied to survival. For reliability and validity, I think the measure, this measure is exactly, does exactly what it's intended to do. It is data demonstrate that it's a reliable measure as well as a very valid measure. Again, I rate this high on both accounts. And then for usability, I think what the measure developers indicated that it's in use by the American College of Surgeons, Commission on Cancer, at about over 1,500 hospitals, accredited cancer programs. And although the Commission on Cancer anticipates that programs will increasingly self-select to publicly report their performance rates within the context of the communities they serve, the National Public Reporting Program hasn't been conducted by for this measure yet, but they feel, the developers feel, that an external mandate would be needed in order to become publicly reported. I think certainly it could be a measure that could be publicly reported. And for feasibility, the data, the required data elements are routinely generated and used during care delivery. So again, no concerns there, and there are absolutely no inaccuracies or errors. If the measure is unlikely to be susceptible to underreporting. So overall, I thought that this was a good measure, an excellent measure, and it could be approved.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Ricciardi. Are there other questions or comments from the steering committee members on the call?
This is Joe Alvarez. I would echo, I think, just the usability and utility of the measure as well as its importance and recommend approval.
Okay. Any other?
And this is Wendy Tenzik. I would say the same. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, any other comments about this one or questions for the developer on this one? All right. Well, hearing none, we will move on to our next measure. We're moving pretty quickly here. 0385, this is an oncology measure, chemotherapy for stage 3A through stage 3C colon cancer patients. This is an AMA PCPI measure. We have as the lead discussant Dr. Lutz. And is Dr. Lutz on the call? If not, let's see, we're looking at it on the, we're looking at the measure now on the screen, and do we have any comments we can just walk through? Do you want to just walk through?
I guess my question would be, and I have to plead a certain amount of ignorance here, is in some ways it seems to overlap with the previous measure.
Okay.
And I'm having trouble discerning how they're different.
Okay.
And the other one sort of just said generically stage, the patients with stage 3 colon cancer. And in this instance, we're talking about patients with stage 3A through 3C colon cancer. But, and again, please excuse my ignorance. In the first one, we're talking about consideration or administration chemotherapy within 4 months. And this one, we're talking about chemotherapy within 12 months. It just seems that these would be measures which look at the same patient population but are applying a different standard to them.
That is a question. Actually, is the developer on the line able to speak to that, the differences between this one and 225? But I don't have that.
Sorry, which measure were you saying it overlapped with?
Well, I apologize. Let me go ahead and grab it. 223.
Okay, gotcha, sorry. I
mean, the definition, the numerator and denominator are slightly different, but they're not that different. Line that we're allowed, and again, please forgive me if I'm completely misreading this, but the difference seems to be, and then in the current 385, they define what chemotherapy combinations sort of meet that criterion. We're talking about stage 3 with maybe a greater level of specificity than what was articulated previously, and then we're given 12 months here as opposed to 4 months with the previous measure.
Right.
And pardon the interruption, we do have a couple of signals over the phone.
Good, thank good.
You. Kristen McNiff and Samantha Tierney.
Yes, thank you.
I'll defer to Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Thanks, Kristen. So I would agree with Dr. Lutz that these measures are essentially measuring the same thing. The measure from the American College of Surgeons is measuring performance at the facility level, and this measure was designed to measure performance at the individual physician level. There are some differences to this measure. Essentially, the intent is the same. They are based on the same guidelines. But the reason the 120-day piece is not really built into the measure that you have at the physician level is primarily for sample size reasons and also because we were trying to make a measure that could be used in a claims-based reporting program. But the measure does allow for current or previous receipt of adjuvant chemotherapy. So for a patient who, you know, would have received it some time ago, we would just expect that they would document previous receipt. But it's certainly meant to be consistent with the guidelines and the intent of the American College of Surgeons measure. But I'll ask Kristen if she has anything to add.
No, I think that was a good summary. I mean, a key point is the unit of analysis being at the physician level for the AMA-PCPI measure.
And should we be worried that the timeline for these are different of 4 months versus 12 months?
Because
I just hate to have an inconsistent standard of what represents timeliness in therapy.
And this is Angela. I'll just interject that this is something that we should think about when we get to the in-person meeting, as we'll be walking through both of the measures, and we'll have these side by side so the committee can discuss them. But if there's an answer from the developer, we'd love to hear it.
And we do have a signal from Andrew Stewart.
Hi. So this is I'm representing the College of Surgeons. These two measures are overlap significantly, but as the representatives from ASCO and AMA indicate, the measure put forward by the college was originally envisioned and has been implemented for the purpose of assessing hospital or facility level performance. The measure that you're looking at here, number 385, as I understand, has been conceived to look at individual oncology provider performance, if you will. The distinction in stage groups is moot. Stage 3 is A, 3B, and 3C. So whether or not additional specificity is required in our part is a fairly administrative task to resolve if that's necessary. What I will come back to, though, is the timing difference. This measure was originally specified, assessed, and since validated over 5 years ago. And during its original specification development, there was extensive evaluation of time frame data between diagnosis or presentation of colon cancer and the administration of adjuvant therapy. Those analyses were combined with the evidence and protocol framework of the clinical trials that have that informed the standard of care, and the consensus among the technical panel and the steering committees at the NQF back in 2006-07 was that the 120 days or 4 months from diagnosis was a reasonable time frame within which to expect post-operative chemotherapy to be provided or administered to this cohort of adult under 80 patients. So that's the origin of the time frame that exists in the measure that was reviewed previously and is stewarded by the college.
After our previous discussions regarding measure reconciliation, I guess we can anticipate that the question will come up when we rediscuss them as a whole group in 3 weeks' time. So in some ways, if the sponsors who are presenting these measures can anticipate that and articulate that clearly at that venue, it probably save us a lot of work.
Kristen and I know each other. We'll touch base with each other this week and start those conversations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think it'll be worthwhile. It'll just make it easier to get through this efficiently.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you for those comments. Very helpful.
Thank you. Any other comments about Measure 385? Okay. All right. Moving on, we have next on the agenda is 1859, KRAS gene mutation testing performed for patients with metastatic colorectal cancer who receive anti-epidermal growth factor therapy. And this is an ASCO measure. And for our lead discussant, we have Dr. Dale or Dr. Loeb. Okay. We have it up on the screen, and just walking through what the committee or the work group had looked at previously, it looks like the importance piece is met by a vote of with impact of 2 yes, 2 no for 1B. I'm sorry, looking wrong. Go ahead and walk through. Do you mind walking? Yes, I should look at this. Okay. Sorry, I was looking at the screen. I don't have my glasses. So the impact is 4 high, performance gap, 1 high, 1 moderate, and 2 insufficient. Looking at the rationale, there were some comments about the fact that colon cancer is common, metastatic colon cancer is a substantial portion of patients, and there's questions about the evidence on the performance gap. But basically, for once, the evidence, the impressions were 4 voted yes, and overall, this was rated to pass importance. So are there any comments from the larger work group on the importance?
I'm doing the other measure. I guess I disagree with one thing where it says it's not really a paired measure. I think it is, because the measure that I'm looking at, 1860, mm-hmm. really reflects what comes out of this. So I think you can articulate, and I'm looking at the NCCN guidelines in front of me, that for patients with the wild-type KRAS gene mutation, it makes sense to make use of these anti-EGFR monoclonal antibodies, whereas for those who have the mutated form of the gene, it's a complete waste of money. So I actually find that the measure makes sense. You know, one is it's targeting our testing and refining it, and I think there is enough of a performance gap that's articulated here to, at least to my mind, to make this a fairly important measure.
Yep. All right. Any other comments on that point? All right. Looking at the scientific acceptability, it looks like there was uniform agreement that scientific acceptability was met. There were some comments about they'd like to see more information given on specifications, the time window, more detail on time window, numerator details, and reliability testing. There's a question on reliability testing. What was the concordant ascertainment? So hard data is, I think, the overall gist of that statement. Hard data would be helpful. Are there any comments from the group on scientific acceptability?
Well, I think I would view that this measure is meeting that standard of scientific acceptability.
And is there anyone from ASCO who wants to speak to this?
Anyone from ASCO?
Felicia, could you see if...
Please press star 1 if you would like to have your line opened. And we'll go to Kristen McNiff and Tim Gilligan.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, this is Kristen. I can start. We can. I understand that there is some request for a little bit more information about the reliability, and we can certainly provide that. Can you just help me understand what other information you'd like? More detail about numerator and denominator specs. Is that what I heard?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah, they're asking for information on the time window for the measure. And any additional information on the numerator details.
Okay. All right, I mean, okay. We can certainly provide that.
And that's in 2, you're looking at 2A?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll look for that from you, I think, in advance of the in-person. Is that correct?
In advance of the in-person? I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yes.
So we can provide that in advance of your in-person, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other comments from the steering committee on this? Okay. All right, so looking at usability, it was rated to pass the usability criteria by the work group members, and also we looked at feasibility, and it looks like 2 members rated as moderate and 2 members rated as insufficient, and I wondered if there was any discussion there for feasibility of the measure. Okay. Hearing none, the assessment of the work group as a whole is that it should, it's suitable for endorsement. Are there any questions from work group members on any aspect of this measure or as a, this measure as a whole? Nope, hearing none. Any additional comments from the developer on this one? Okay.
Provide the additional information you're looking for.
Great. Thanks, Kristen. All right, then moving on, we'll go to the next one, which is 1860, also an ASCO measure. Anti-epidermal growth factor receptor monoclonal antibody therapy not received by metastatic colorectal patients with KRAS gene mutation. And for our discussion, we have Dr. Alvarez.
Hi. I think a lot of what you said about the in discussion of the previous measure pairs up with this one. I thought of saw it as a paired measure with the other, one establishing measurement of the gene mutational status as the pool from which we draw at least the denominator statement for this. In this case, patients who have the KRAS mutation don't benefit from EGFR. So I think this is a well-conceived overuse measure for what constitutes incredibly expensive therapy. And I think it seeks to ensure that such therapy isn't applied in a futile fashion. Again, I think the statements of impact here demonstrate not only the prevalence of this condition, but what was particularly troubling to me is that there is a significant performance gap of about 15%. When one thinks about the resource intensity of these therapeutic modalities, I think it argues that there's room for improvement in efficiency. I think that they do a very good job of indicating the consistency of the data and the concordance of the data, and then extending through the strength of the data, the recommendations from ASCO as well as from NCCN are unequivocal in the in this being an inappropriate use of resources. With respect to the specificity and reliability of the measurement, I think that the application articulates that, in fact, this can be sampled in a reliable way. And they cite their previous experience abstracting the data from 130 practices with the agreement data having a concordance level of 90%, which I thought was quite good. Overall, I viewed this as I ranked it very highly, actually. I viewed it as an important overuse measure with a good definition, and I thought it's a potential for applicability at least was quite good, and I would recommend approval of this measure or that it moves forward to the broader discussion. With all the caveats that were articulated with 1859 also to some extent applying to this measure as well.
Okay. Thank you. Comments from the larger work group?
Yeah, this is Steve. Sorry I was a little late, but the only thing I had an issue with in here, and I'm not sure I have a suggestion to make it read better, but it comes up on three or four of the measures we're going to be looking at the next meeting. When you read through the measure title, any title that has in it something not received by someone with KRAS gene mutation, it took me a couple of readings through to make sure I understood just from the title what we were trying to get out of it. And I know, you know, when I write for board examinations, they always say you are not allowed to write a question that says something that is a not or a negative, because it actually sends you back and forth a couple times. I'm not sure how to word that differently, but it struck me for all of the measures that said something not done, because when you read through it, almost looks like not done when it should have been, but it's actually should not have been done. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Does that make sense? So I'm not sure if there's a way to an easier way to word it where it just says something inadvertently delivered or something, but something not done kind of put me off a little bit. I mean, it's a minor thing, but like I said, I read through it twice.
Got it. Any response from the developer on that one or the rest of the group?
It's okay. It's okay if it was only me that thought that. But, yeah, it did catch my eye.
Gotcha. And we do have a signal from Kristen McNiff.
Hi, thank you. Yes, the wording, I agree, is a bit of a mouthful. And we actually report it both ways, but we do it that way to reverse the directionality of the measure reporting. But certainly it could be, we report it both ways. We could, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure which is best. It kind of the fact that I read it twice and was still trying to figure it out, and I was emotionally invested in trying to figure it out. I wondered if someone reading through more casually might just sort of not get it, and that was my only concern.
And Kristen, this is Lindsay. Just a quick question, just to make sure we didn't miss anything. These measures were not submitted as paired, were they?
They were not submitted as paired.
Okay.
They're definitely related, and they cite the same evidence, the same guideline, but we feel that they're really measuring two distinct constructs.
Okay.
Were there any comments from the work group about the two of the measures together, I mean, as a possible pair?
I think this is Joe Albanez. I guess I've kind of argued this before. I think these measures are paired, and one without the other doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, this is Steve. I agree. I think they're both good. I think they deserve to be there together, and they actually enhance each other by virtue that it makes it very clear what we're trying to get at, or what the submitters are trying to get at.
All right. That may be a recommendation that would carry forward to the larger discussion at the in-person. And is there any comment from the developer about that possibility?
I certainly can't necessarily speak for ASCO, and I'll bring that back to our committee, but I think that we would be certainly open to considering it, and I can say for sure we'd be open to considering it. Just the distinction is that the previous measure, 1859, is looking at metastatic colorectal cancer patients who do receive the monoclonal antibody, and then confirming that the KRAS testing was done, because there is not a recommendation that all metastatic colorectal cancer patients get KRAS gene mutation testing. So it's not the often paired measures, the one really defines the other, and we actually submitted one like that will be reviewed later this week. But in this case, the denominator in the first measure is targeting a slightly different patient population. But if you all think this should be paired, I'd be certainly happy to bring that back to our committee.
Thanks. Okay, any other questions about Measure 1860 or comments? Okay. Hearing none, that concludes our call.
Actually, Felicia, can we open up the lines for a member and public comment, please?
Open every line?
Yes, please.
Very good. Please stand by. All lines are being opened.
And is there anyone with comment?
Next up.
Okay, well, hearing none, as far as the committee work is related, the next steps, we have two more work group calls this week for the breast cancer measures. And then the in-person meeting is scheduled for May 23rd and 24th. We'll be sending out an agenda shortly. We just didn't want to overwhelm you with four agendas in 1 week, but it is final, and the measure developers have seen it at this point, so we should be ready to go. If you haven't RSVP'd for the in-person meeting yet, please do. You should have received an email from meetings@qualityforum.org. I think they've sent out two at this point, so please do RSVP, whether you can attend in person or by phone. We definitely need to know. Other than that, unless you all have any specific questions for me, we will update you on phase one at the in-person meeting, but that's pretty much it for phase two until we see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.